The Cosmic Other Side. Life never ends. What is living now always was and always will be. So there is no such thing as the end on any inhabited planet. The reason is exactly what God promised at the moment He created us. The other side of every inhabited planet, which embraces every living thing, is eternal. As inhabited planets become more spiritually advanced and less separate from each other, and especially when their environments will no longer support life, their other sides begin blending with the great, infinite, universal other side. If the Earth were destroyed tomorrow, we and our other side would join those spirits whose planets have already completed their natural cycles, who are living the same blissful, sacred lives that wait for us beyond the stars, where our cosmic home beyond home always thrives. The cosmic other side is as identical a reflection of the universe as our other side is of Earth. It's populated by incarnated spirits and spirit guides and messiahs from abandoned planets in every galaxy. It has its own legion of angels and its own venerated council. The residents of the cosmic other side are the most highly advanced in the universe. And someday, about 100 years from now, if we keep working toward making Earth an uninhabitable planet, we'll be right there among them. The Council, also known as the Elders or the Master Teachers, is its own phylum of 18 highly advanced male and female spirits who essentially act as God's voice on the other side. They are the exception to the rule of everyone at home being 30 years old. As an emblem of their revered wisdom, the men wear identical white-silver beards, and the women have long, straight, white-silver hair. Their faces are extraordinarily beautiful, mature but perfectly unlined, and both the men and the women dress in flowing floor-length robes. Like the phylum of angels, the 18 council members never incarnate, and their sacred titles are appointed for eternity. The council presides in a vast white marble room in the Hall of Justice, at a gleaming white marble U-shaped table. A legion of gold-winged principalities stands sentinel behind them, as a proud, silent testament to their importance. The council is not a governing body, since government and laws are unnecessary on the other side. But because the wisdom of the council membership is as infinite as their love for us, they're entrusted by God with responsibilities that profoundly affect both life at home and our lives here on Earth. I've often said it shocks me that I actually was sober when I wrote my chart for this lifetime, and I'm sure many of you relate. My theory is that we must feel so invincible on the other side that sometimes we choose some bigger obstacles to confront on Earth than our goals really require. One obstacle I obviously insisted on in my chart was someone I trusted defrauding and betraying me, jeopardizing my career and the credibility I've worked a lifetime to earn. I was devastated and scared to death. My spirit guide Francine kept promising I wasn't just going to be okay, I was going to come out of that horrible experience stronger, wiser, and better than ever. I didn't believe one word of that, and I was sure I'd finally written something into my chart that would pull me under and keep me there. As it turned out, Francine was true to her word as always. I did come out stronger, wiser, and better than ever by the time it was over. But I didn't know until later how far she'd gone to keep her promise. It seems that while I was slogging my way through endless legal battles, Francine was lobbying the council to modify my chart. She never asked that the crisis be erased or that I be spared the consequences of my own poor judgment. But she successfully convinced the 18 venerable master teachers to spare my life's work and me from being permanently compromised. So take it from me. The council is so powerful that they actually can intervene in our charts mid-emergency when they know the outcome will be devoted to God's greatest good. But then, few residents of the other side are more intimately familiar with our life charts than the council, because it's to them that we present the rough drafts for their divine guidance as one of our final steps before leaving home to come here. They talk us through every detail of the boot camp we've set up for ourselves, asking questions, advocating modifications, pointing out ways we can maximize the value of the lessons we're intent on learning, and areas in which we might be setting ourselves up for more pain than some lessons are worth. Once we've finally arrived at a chart that satisfies both our goals and the council's loving, protective wisdom, we're sent away with one final sacred blessing from these 18 transcendent beings. It's the council's responsibility, based on the difficulty of the incarnation we've just charted for ourselves, to assign the specific angels who will watch over and protect us until we're safely home again. That's not to say we can't call for extra help along the way when the need arises. God's entire legion of angels is always paying attention and ready to rush to our side. Although the most powerful of them, the principalities, will arrive only when we're in need of a miracle and we summon them specifically. But there are a few moments we treasure more as we leave the other side, headed for this cold, rough earth, than the sight of those 18 divine, beautiful beings rising from their massive white marble dais to present us with the chosen angels who'll spend our lifetime right beside us on the council's loving orders.